Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Better, Bolder, Braver pod. The podcast today is dedicated to podcasting and marketing your pod and podcasts. And the guest is Mark Stedman, who is a longtime podcast audio marketing and newsletter content and general content expert, who is a people helper. Because he helps other people to master these things. And because he's a people helper, he's part of the Better, Bolder, Braver community of coaches or people helpers, as I like to call you. And Mark is one of 10 experts on the inside who also carry the gravitas of being a marketing and a good ethical marketing maestro as well. And he is the first person who has hosted. In the new series of tools and techniques, which are the Better, Bolder, Braver workshops that are available to both community members and also people more widely in the Better, Bolder, Braver movement. Last week, we had the pleasure of Mark's company when Mark ran a workshop about what we're going to be talking about today. But if you didn't catch that and you're not in the Better, Bolder, Braver community and you can't therefore access the recording of it, then you can listen here today to Mark talking all about what it was that they were teaching us last week. So without any further ado, what I'm going to do is ask Mark to give us a brief introduction to Mark and then to tell us what it was that we were focusing on last week in relation to podcasting and marketing of your podcasts and other content. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm overexposed, but that's just an issue for the viewer, not the listener. Hello, listener. My name is Mark. I consider myself a podcast problem solver in that if you have a problem with your podcast, or you have a problem that and your problem is that you don't have a podcast. Although I had an interesting conversation with someone a couple of weeks ago, that is not a problem that I have been able to identify. As much as I love podcasting and love podcasts and love the medium, the idea that someone doesn't have a podcast, and being able to express that, as we do in marketing terms, as being a problem, that feels quite difficult. And so I don't try and convince people that they should have a podcast. So instead, I'm here to help people who want to but are feeling stuck, maybe because of the tech, or because of the usual very common feelings of imposter syndrome and who would care, who would listen, all that kind of stuff. Can I find people to talk to? Do I have the right ideas? And I try and help take people from the idea of I would like a podcast all the way through to having something that hasn't been done before and that the listener will enjoy. So that's what I do. And last week we were talking about podcasting and email marketing, I was sort of positing a bit of a flip in terms of how we think about the sort of the cycle of bringing on new listeners. Because the whole point of what I do, the people I help are solopreneurs and kind of people helpers, or certainly people focused solopreneurs, let's say. And what I help them achieve and what podcasting is brilliant at is building trust. And so what we're always trying to do is find our people, bring them into the tent, and let them understand what we're good for, what we're good at. And the podcast is a wonderful way of us as the listeners being able to get a sense of what it's like to spend time with that person. And so when we think about the whole cycle of how we bring on new listeners, how we bring them closer to us so that we can get in touch with them when we've got something of value to say, then that's where we want to bring email in. Because the problem that we have with social media is the algorithm is, I say the capital T, capital A with a little trademark, the algorithm is very picky. What's the word I'm after here? Capricious, maybe? And we can lose our reach very easily. We are renting reach, we are renting audiences. Instagram at the moment are just rolling something out saying that they want to support smaller creators because so many people are leaving, or they're worried that people are leaving TikTok because of the US bans and possibly the EU bans. And so, you know, think about TikTok as a great example. If that goes away because of an EU ban or the US ban that is coming into force, what does that do to an audience that you've built up on TikTok? How do you get access to them? And so an email is a great way to be able to be invited in to talk to them. And then the podcast is a wonderful way to build trust with them and to bring in that intimacy and give, like I said, the listener a real sense of what spending time with you is like. And so, we talked about a cycle of going through email first, get people on your email list and let them know that the podcast exists rather than trying to convince them to sign up and listen to a podcast when they're in the mood to do something else. So that, and that's it. And that's all the time we have. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. There's a lot there. And I'll try and respond because each of the points were very important working backwards. I loved the point you made last week and again today about appreciating that when people are sitting on the loo scrolling, that isn't when they feel like launching into a whole podcast episode or podcast, I should say. It's a pod on which sits a podcast.
So the nomenclature is a podcast is the series and then an episode is the...
Oh, got it wrong. Yeah. Wrong way round. So sorry.
that's
I should know
fine.
This at this point. But yeah, so sorry about that. It is a pod on which sits... No, it's a podcast on which sits a pod. The podcast is like a... Is that right, Mark?
So... The podcast is the series of episodes, and then the episode is the individual thing. Like, so people have got confused
pod?
That they think blog means blog post and a blog series. Blog means the whole series. Yeah, the channel.
Yeah.
So blog and podcast. Post is to episode as blog is to podcast. That's made it more confusing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so the point being, it doesn't matter.
Yeah no, it really doesn't.
Other than that, people like Mark and me get a bit caught up with these things, and I certainly do get caught up in blog and blog post, and there's an equivalent over there in the podcast world. Hello, kitty cat.
My cat made an appearance. He's determined to be on every podcast that I do.
Shame he doesn't have a voice, as it were.
I know. Well, he has a very loud purr, but it still doesn't quite get picked up by the mic.
Anyway, oh my god, Mark, come on.
Hi.
Let's discipline ourselves. So the the point we're just making now.
You discipline yourself.
When
you're sitting on the loo scrolling, you're not in the mood to listen to a whole episode.
That's right.
You
my
might
mum
watch a
and dad
video.
Recently criticised my podcast, as they do sometimes. Well, they do a lot, just because they're my parents and it's their job.
They're just trying to make you better, Francis.
They're just trying to make me better, but they scrutinise how interesting I am. Therefore how much people are going to really care about what I have to say, which is a really good thing to question.
I really want to get into this, actually. Parents could be brutal. They listened to an episode that I did of my sort of after hours show, if you like, my non-worky show, and we were talking about Harry Potter characters, and my mum listened and she said, you're very you really agree a lot, you really seem to agree a lot with the guest, and you say absolutely a lot, and it's like, oh okay, thanks, I wasn't expecting that kind
I know
of,
I'm also now I think my I so this is a really good point to have brought up, because I know as a marketing person that if you listen to one of my podcast episodes, it doesn't mean you're going to listen to all of them. And indeed, if you've listened to none of them and then you don't get a good introduction to the one that you're listening to, you won't know what I'm all about. So it is important to give the headlines at the beginning of all of them. But if you're my parents and you've listened to several of them, you'll have heard the headlines quite a lot. And therefore, of course, it's going to be boring. But that's your subjective self-awareness to be done. So I think it's really important. Point one, don't worry too much about what your parents say, even if at best they are experts in media production, or at worst have absolutely no idea what they're talking about.
There's also, so I'm in the middle of addressing my diet, and I was going to send, I'm getting a lot of help from my brother because he's a big fitness guy. And I was going to send him my plate of food yesterday to be like, I've been such a good boy. I've got There's so much kale on this plate, and greens and all this stuff, and then these chicken thighs and drumsticks. And I know, and I did all the macronutrients. It's all balanced and it's all good. But I know that he would reply back with love, saying like, "Well, yeah, see, you know, the chicken thighs, it's the wrong kind of fat." And it's like, I'm only on day two. Like, I have to start somewhere. I'm already tracking my macronutrients, my keeping my carbs and my fats and my protein in like, I can't now dive into like what kinds of fats. So the advice that we get from people when they, you know, be they experts, be they whatever, it might be well-meaning and it might even be good advice, but it might also be like, I'm only on episode two. Like, let me get my skis under me, if you like. Let me
Okay, so
actually get comfortable before you
absolutely.
then start throwing stuff at me.
And this is what speaks to the main reason why I wanted to have you sharing more with people about what you're all about, which is the why. Why bother? Now, most people, I think put together a podcast because it's a great marketing strategy in that you can shout at people about what it is that you've already built. Okay. My reason for doing a podcast is that it's a fast track way to having very intimate conversations with people that otherwise may not have or think they have the time for you. So, for example, I have another podcast called the Francis Fogel Story Strategist podcast. I am exploring a lot, two things. One is what it is that I'm all about. And by talking to experts in the field, I learn very quickly what I care about, what I should know more about. So inviting people on the show is a very selfish act of sort of self-education, where I get to ask these experts questions and quite penetrating personal ones sometimes as to why they're doing what they do. And it is a brilliant way of learning quickly. Also, they are people who, frankly, I would love to know who I am because they're going to be either gatekeepers or people who can offer me some feedback that would be useful because they do know what they're talking about. And I can either just, not just, but I can either cheerlead them, follow them, comment, write on LinkedIn and on Instagram and, you know, read their books and, you know, or I can say, would you like to come onto my podcast? Because I'd actually really like to sort of profile more, not that you need it, what you're all about. And it turns out that asking people questions about themselves is something that I'm not bad at and really enjoy. So it's a really good way, a podcast, of allowing me to do what I'm good at, which is to cheerlead people and profile people. And then I share it. So I'm just showing my workings out loud. So of course it's not perfect because I'm just doing the maths at, you know, in the background as well myself. There's nothing shiny about it, and I don't pretend that there is. That's one of the reasons why I produce a podcast. We get onto the technical side of it, which is very much in connection with my parents' point and a very good point that you made the other day, which is don't disrespect people's time. You know, don't put out into the world and ship before it's ready something that you are self-indulgently using to educate yourself because people have got very limited attention. It needs to be edited to some degree. You can't just do what you're doing, Francis, which is to record conversations on Zoom with a microphone, which the stand has broken off.
That's
Hoping the
perfectly
audio is going to
acceptable.
be fine, and then not edit out the possibly quite lengthy introduction, and not put a jingle on the beginning and end so that people know that they're safe in the right place. Would you like to comment on any of that? Because you
I'd
did
love
make some
to.
good points at the workshop about this, not
Thank you.
quite to the degree I'm going to.
One of the points that I didn't make is that I put this out actually recently on LinkedIn. When you don't edit, if we are talking about, again, giving people a sense of what spending time with you is like, when we don't, I'm very conscious, by the way, you may have noticed a change in the audio. I am very conscious of it because I've closed my door. My office is being refurbished at the moment, so it's in my head. I can't get it out of my head. It's very reverby in here. I just wanted to address that, and then we can carry on. I'm supposed to be an audio professional. Anyway, so when we don't edit, or when we put something out that is in some way when I say unpolished, I want to come back to that. It sends a bit of a signal about what working with us is like. It to me, I think it sends a signal that, oh, they're probably coming in a bit unprepared, a little bit sort of, what's going on? Like, you know, if I'm working with a coach or something like that, I don't necessarily want to spend 5-10 minutes going, you know, is my camera straight? Is all this kind of stuff, you know, is all, and I want to know that we're going to be sort of uninterrupted unless that is avoidable. You know, sometimes things turn up, you know, packages arrive and that kind of stuff. That's very different from being interrupted in a way that was very avoidable and then that not being edited out. You know, it's really just give us the stuff that we need to hear. It does not have to be, and when I say polished, does not have to be buffed within an inch of its life. It does not need music. It, you know, it does not need a fancy jingle. Those things are nice and those things are good, but they're not like minimal requirements. I think a minimal requirement for me is that the thing you put out is not just the audio version or the literal Zoom file dragged into YouTube. I think it is important to, yes, there's the respecting people's time bit, but also giving people a sense of actually, we're going to spend, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour together. I want you to know that when we start, this time is all for you rather than, you know, being spent doing admin or doing, you know, bits and bobs. On your intro, by the way, I think it's a good length. I think you're absolutely fine lengthwise. I've sat through some interminable intros. So yes.
And the other thing is about my intros, and I explain this to my guests, and I had to explain it to my parents. a lot of my guests don't know who I am. One cannot assume a guest is going to have, you know, gone down a rabbit hole of you. And
if you say that about your guests, that's a great thing to have in mind about your listener as well.
Absolutely. So, you know, when people come onto my show, I say, listen, there's absolutely no pressure here and there won't be any judgment. Have you even listened to any of my podcast episodes or indeed gone on my website? And sometimes they say, no.
And I say, sometimes absolutely fine. Perhaps a little guiltily, yeah.
No, most of the time they have, and they're very kind and they've bothered, and I do appreciate it, at least to have gone on the website, if not to have listened to a podcast episode. But in the event that they haven't, it's absolutely fine. And I say to them, don't worry, thanks for letting me know. Now I can do an introduction, which kills several birds with one stone, one of which is you will have a sense of why you're here at the end of it. And therefore, I'm not going to be catching you off guard. And when I ask you questions, I'm going to preamble them somewhat with why I'm asking you it in connection to what I do. So a lot of it is mindful. And that's why I do take issue with the suggestion that I have just mindlessly rambled my way as a practice session for an elevator pitch, as opposed to in a very pointed way introduced a guest and why my questions are relevant to them in connection to what I do. So mum, dad, I'm going to send this one to you and I'm going to make you listen to it. But
it's a difficult thing because you're threading a few needles. You know, you've got to think about the listener who doesn't know you, who is listening to this for the first time, who's maybe found the episode through your guest or through other means. You've also got to think about the listener who's been there 20 times, 30 times, and it's like, yeah, I know all of this, Francis. You've also got to think about your guest and the time that you're spending there. And it's a lot of balls to juggle, you know, when you're especially when you're trying to do it all on the call. One of the reasons I edit and do what I do is because I'm less confident doing that. I do all of my intros and outros and all that stuff away from the guest. I do that in post, as we say, because I want to be able to retake it and not sit there and sort of be a little bit bashful or embarrassed about, oh, yep, sorry, I got that a bit wrong or whatever. Like, I want to be able to do that, you know, at another time. And it also means that the time we spend together, we are, you know, just having the conversation that is maximal for, you know, I'm using their time in the best way.
Okay, interesting again, because I want to say, oh, right, is that why people do those quite obvious post-production intros that they then weave in? Why don't they do what I do, which is just to do it on the call? But of course, you know, I know that there's lots of stuff that I'm not confident about at all. But one of the things that I'm pretty confident about is this kind of thing. And the reason why I'm confident about it is because I really, not saying that people don't care about what they're talking about, but I'm in the business in Better, Bolder, Braver of helping people get out of their own way because they're held back by anything from imposter syndrome to confidence issues to a lack of clarity about their bigger picture, system change or pricing indeed. And, you know, just getting them to a point where they can walk into a room and say, hi, here are the headlines. And by the way, I have to thank my father for the headlines, which I talk about a lot. And that's because when I was younger, my dad used to take me to school, he had to listen to the 8 o'clock news on the dot, Radio 4, which is exactly when we were in the car. So not only did I get an experience of the headlines through that, because I had to listen to it with him every day, but also my dad's a busy man. He was a busy man in the 80s, and he had lots of stuff going on in his mind and did need to listen to the news as well. And so he wanted to absorb what I was doing in my life, but was very keen that I did identify some headlines, so that rather than sitting for 45 minutes in the car just sort of working it out loud to my dad, I was able to, and he really supported me, therefore, in my future life, in being able to kind of get clear on what the headlines were and sort of be able to talk them quickly. So I do have you to thank, Dad, for all of this in a way. But getting out of your own way and being able to talk your thing is another reason why having a podcast is a great idea, particularly if public speaking and off the cuff isn't something that you absolutely love, I would say.
And to demonstrate the power of the problem with not editing, my doorbell has just rung. And I wonder if you could give me 20 seconds to address that.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, while you're addressing it, I can say that I did not hear the doorbell. So there will be occasions when you're worried that something that's gone on in your life will very badly affect someone else's reception of the information, or, you know, will disrupt their attention. And I would just say, I don't think it will necessarily do that, because we couldn't hear Mark's doorbell. Now, Mark doesn't know what we're talking about here, but that doesn't really matter, because it's all about you, the listener. And I won't need to have edited this out, because it still will make perfect sense.
So, it will make perfect sense. I mean, yeah, there could have been a way that I could have communicated that, you know, via the chat or something. But, you know, so one of the things that
minimum
I do... Minimum faff. As an audio professional, as I keep describing myself, I have a handy button here with which I can mute myself. It doesn't show up on Zoom that I'm muted, but I can mute myself here. So anytime I'm not talking, I'm muting. And
Ooh.
So that's, yes, I heard the doorbell, you didn't.
Right, okay. Well, look, on the subject of other stuff, Mark knows that we don't. basically, I am going to be paying Mark come September when I've got a bit of capacity in the cash flow department and also in the time department and headspace department to do something. Now, this is actually the first time that I'm telling Mark what it is that I'm going to ask Mark to help me with. So I've produced, it will be about 20 episodes, 20 conversations for Francis Fogel's Story Strategist. And they're really good. I've really enjoyed all the chats, and they've really helped me get really clear on, you know, who I want to help, what I do. And one of the things that Mark talked about the other day was how to market a pre-produced podcast where you can alert your newsletter list and followers as to when new episodes are released, if you're doing it, you're producing and then releasing, or indeed if you've got a bank of content that you want to kind of slowly release, which I've already done, or rather I've released it as it has been produced. But I think I almost want to re-release it, Mark, with a slightly slicker production, but also with a bit more intentionality around the purpose of the podcast. Because I'm not sure it's been anything other than a really self-indulgent exercise on my part and a really good gatekeeper, nurturing, relationship building exercise with the people that I've had on the show. And it really has, by the way. Because one of them has now, he's incredibly influential, amazingly well-informed and has a wonderful network. And he's asked me now to write a blog post for his website, for his followers, and is going to be thinking about me in relation to his network. So it very much does work. And yes, that was in my mind when I invited him on the podcast, but I would say not in a sort of unsavory way, not in a manipulative, like unethical way. It's the design of the podcast as a product for me and my sustainability and my process, But now that it's been produced, I wonder if Mark couldn't do something with it from a production point of view, from a marketing point of view, that's just a little bit more intentional about, you know, reaching low hanging fruit. I do not have any, I haven't got any activity at the moment in terms of my newsletter for Francis Fogel's Toy Strategist. And yet all I need is one or two clients for the whole thing to make sense, because the way that my business model is over there is I would like to work with one or two purposeful custodians, business leaders, on a retained basis. And therefore, you know, the way I've modeled it financially means I only need one or two people for the whole thing to make sense in complement to Better, Bolder, Braver. And yet I haven't done any really intentional sales, let's say. Marketing is my happy place, sales not so much. And I wonder if my podcast, being this fabulous collection of content now, is something that I could use a little bit more intentionally. And so that's what I'm going to be asking Mark to help me with in September. Why don't you comment on that, Mark, and at the same time share with people precisely how it is that they can work with you in terms of our sessions and ongoing coaching, and just so people can be very clear listening to this, what it is that you offer by way of
Thank
support.
You. Yeah. So as I was describing myself last week when we were on the call, I am something like a country vet in that I can help give deliver an animal, and I can look after it if it's unwell or if you need some reassurance. I'm currently being distracted by my cat, one of my animals. It's one of those days today. It's a chaos day. It's fine. But what I don't do is I don't do the walking and the feeding of your animal. And so I have a few sort of retained production clients that I help, but that's not something that I, you know, I don't take on any new production clients. But what I can do is advise and connect and find ways to enable you to maybe do some of this stuff so that you haven't got to outsource it. So one of the things we might talk about, so I offer an hour long session where we get in and we discuss a problem or something that's blocking you, and we work through it. And at the end of the call, you'll have some sort of follow-on information, a set of things to do next. And, you know, I try and usually just make that one thing because, you know, especially if we're in a bit of a zone of chaos, too many things can be too confusing. So, like, here's just the one thing you want to do. And so that's one of the things that I offer, is you can just sort of pick up the bat phone, if you like, and go, you know, Mark, I need to have a chat with you about this thing for an hour, and then we'll work through it. And so one of the things that we might, for example, with your stuff, talk about is using some of the tools that you may already have at your disposal anyway, and finding what can we do to find the real nuggets of each episode that may be, and there may be multiple per episode, that might speak to a particular theme around storytelling. And so how can we then use those clips, make them into something that can then be packaged up into a newsletter, into a blog post, into different forms, so that rather than sort of re-edit the whole episodes, we're actually just picking out the gold and just saying, here's a thing that, you know, here's a couple of minutes, could be, you know, 2 minutes, could be 5 minutes, whatever, that really supports this point that I want to make. And I know you've got the different sort of themes that you talk about with the different symbols on your website. So what might be interesting there is what piece of audio could support each one of those. That's a really good example. And so taking those 20 plus conversations and just picking out these really good bits and getting as much value out of those as we can.
Oh, love that. My God, you had me at gold, like gold dust. I'll tell you why.
Panning for gold.
No, because that's exactly what I'm telling people I do with their businesses. So I am saying to business founders and custodians, you're sitting on a gold mine of stories you don't even realize, and you're paying people in silo to do better marketing and sales, better customer retention, horrible, I call it loyalty, better employee engagement, horrible, I call it satisfaction, and again loyalty and just enjoyment, and community care, and you're paying different people to help you with those four things, why don't you just take the stories that you already have and use them to underpin the strategies across those four different practice areas that you need to get better at? So you can spend a lot less money and use a story, capitalize on a story that's already there. So for you to suggest that I also can unpick the gold in each of the episodes and find thematically using the symbols, love it. So this is a really good example of how you may not even know how you can do more with a podcast until you speak to Mark. I'm really glad that I have used myself as an example here, because I think it's absolutely right. So with regards to that work, Mark, you've got your one-to-one 250 quid hour or something, 240. How does it work on a more ongoing basis? Because obviously that isn't going to work for me. I need someone who's going to hold my hand, a bit like I do with my one-to-one clients over 6 months, where I say to you, no, you're not going anywhere. You're going to help me actually do this now that you've sold this brilliant idea to me. How does that work?
So that kind of thing might be
Can I just tell you that? I'm sorry to interrupt you, my friend.
No,
your
please.
Camera
yes,
has
my,
fallen
my
on the
has
floor
knocked
because
my
the cat has
knocked,
knocked
my camera.
The camera on the floor. This is like proper brilliant in terms
so
of...
So when we talk about... Don't watch the video, listen to the podcast. Yeah, when we... when we talk about what spending an hour of you is like, spending an hour of your time is like, it is usually for me a little less chaotic, but not entirely, because you will always get a moment of fun with the cat. But again,
cat chaos.
I think I quite like the standing desk idea. So we might just do this for a bit, although I don't much like that angle.
Well, it's mainly a podcast, so don't worry about it. And anyway, yeah, you look exactly. Fabulous.
Thanks. I do quite like the standing up energy. I should have got a standing desk.
Are you going to edit this out in due course? I know, because you don't do that.
I don't do
you're
the editing.
You're the vet, not the... Yeah,
yeah, indeed. So I think that's the kind of thing where we might think about a custom agreement where we work
phone?
Out... Oh. Cool.
All right.
Well, you go answer the phone and I'll
I'll tell the listener. I'll call her later.
I love this. This is the worst podcast I've ever made.
Oh my god, I'm so glad we're recording this. And I'm gonna put it on the Better Border Braver podcast.
Yes.
Brilliant. I can now share with people in the marketing that this is literally the funniest, most unprofessional podcast we've ever produced, either together or indeed apart. So fabulous. Okay, carry on. Sorry. We were talking about how wonderful you were and how much it costs for you to hold someone's hand for 6 months.
Yes. So the package, I offer a package which is 12 weeks of going from sort of zero to podcast, which, you know, we may, once we've had a chat, we may, you know, figure out that that's the right thing to do. And if not, then we can figure out, you know, something a little bit more custom, if you like. I like to try and make my services nice and easy to buy, if you like, so that they're sort of fairly well contained or sort of self-contained. There's kind of three main services that I offer. And then on top of that, if you know, if nothing quite fits, then we can always just have a conversation and figure out like what's going to work out for you. Because, you know, Francis, are a singular person and you have singular requirements.
Okay, but I'm also making the tut 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 face at this point because
cool.
My job is to say to Mark, no, you must contain yourself and work out what works for you and price your services according to what you have capacity for, starting with the spreadsheet of things, and only take on who you want to work with, price according to what you have time for, and make it really clear to them what it is that they have choice. You know, when you have a child, you don't say to them, what would you like to eat today? You say, which kind of fruit would you like, banana or apple? And they say, oh, thank you so much for giving me the choice, mummy. I'll have an apple. You can't give them all the choice because they'll ask you for sweets and whatnot.
Yes, of course.
So I don't agree with Mark on that particular point, but he can do whatever he likes. It's his business. But I can tell you how I work. I rather like the idea of being very clear now in May, as we are, exactly what you're going to charge me for 6 months or whatever. And that way I can save up for it. I know that I can't book Mark for September until a bit nearer the time, because the way that his Calendly works means that he takes payment at the point of booking, which is entirely fair enough, and so does not open up his Calendly as far as September. But I'm incredibly organised and also know that I won't have cash available until then. So I would like to know that it's going to cost me £1,000, or rather what I might get for that. And then I can say, right, I'm going to ring fence with my cash flow maestro Marina £1,000 for this investment. And therefore, we shouldn't worry too much about sales on that front until then, because frankly, we're not doing enough with our content. So it's just not going to happen unless we do sales sort of in another way, other than with the content that we have on the podcast. But come September, I'm really excited because I know that I've ring-fenced £1,000 for Mark, and I've got a good sense of what he's going to be able to do with that. So that's how I work.
That's great. And I sort of feel like you're rebuking me for offering the service then. So now I'm confused as to what you need that I haven't given you.
It's the it's giving people too much choice.
Sure.
It's, in a way, I don't know if £1,000 is what you're talking about at all. And this has turned into a pricing conversation now. But I'm very clear that for an hour of Mark's time, and he's only going to give me one outcome, although I can be, he's also an automation expert, it's come to my attention. So no doubt he could give you 3,000 wonderful automation things and how to put them into place in Notion, and then some fun ideas about questionnaire, and you might just get a bit overwhelmed. What I'm hearing Mark say is, I'll give you one nugget of truth in an hour and you can go ahead and make your podcast amazing.
So I think there are multiple nuggets on offer, but when it comes to actually what is one thing that you can do next, you know, there may be all sorts of things. You know, I like to be able to throw a bunch of stuff out and say, here's all these different tools, but if that feels overwhelming, so here's all the ideas, here's all the stuff, but at the end of it, if you're in that moment of like, I just feel blocked, here's one thing that you can do to get you unblocked. Okay. So it's less about saying, I'm only going to give you one idea for this hour's time.
I'm only
going to
give you one idea per 1 hour. Okay.
Fine. No, so it's great, helping you to make sure that you've got a clear path, because, you know, as someone with an engineering kind of mindset as I have, like, often there are different ways to solve different problems. There are different paths, and that is not always helpful to have too many ifs and ands and buts. And if then that, if
and
else,
also
then
it's very
this.
Subjective, isn't it? Because, for example, I might really enjoy listening and have time to listen back over all of my episodes and love the tech involved in extracting for an audio clip the salient parts, or I might not, as it happens, because I don't have time and I'm not so great with the tech. In which case, what else could I do, right? And so what you're saying is, for each person within that hour, you might be able to give an overview of all the things that you might do to make the marketing of your podcast better. And at the end of it, come up with a solution as to what that person has capacity to do and can feel now almost accountable to doing in your, with your kind of, oversight. I don't know quite how that works, because, you know, do they send their homework to you? Anyway, I'm mindful of time, your time mainly. What I would just like people to understand from this is that Mark does offer both a very clear what you'll get for this, and also is open to you discussing with Mark what you might need, and at the end of a discussion coming up with a bespoke offer.
Essentially there are three services that you can check out, hellostedman.com/services, that sort of make sense. There are some courses coming as well, so that you can run through some of this stuff at your own pace, and there are free things available too. But there are three core services that I offer. One is the give me an hour of your time. Another is, I've already got a podcast and I don't know what I don't know. I can't look inside the bottle. I need you to help me with the growth or some other aspect. And that's more of a report that we do. And then we can spend a bit of time talking about that. And then there's the whole, I don't have a podcast and I want to make sure that it gets set up properly from the ground, hit the ground running, so that I don't have to, in 6 to 9 months' time, sit down with a marketing expert to go, this doesn't seem to be growing, how can we help? You know, so it's kind of trying to get that stuff right from the get-go. And then, yeah, if nothing else fits, then at the end of the day, I'm a consultant. I'm a problem solver. Let's figure out how we can solve your problem,
Okay,
and just
super
have a
clear.
chat.
Super clear. No, I love it. Thanks so much, Mark. Yeah, I'm very clear now that what I need is option B. And I would just say, though, to finish off, another question that my parents, bless them, and other people of, I think, of a generation ask is, how many people are listening to the podcast? Or if I say, I've had a really good week, they go, fabulous, how much money have you made? And it's like, well, it's not good in what you think good looks
It's not
like.
about that, Mom.
It's not about that. It's yeah. So in terms of the listeners, I personally I'm not looking for like thousands of people to listen to my podcast. Because A, I don't quite know what I'd seen this. I think I that isn't what I need. As I say, I only need like I need to have done some really good positioning. I need to have niched down and be sharing what I have produced with the right people. That being said, I also would love to get my episode sponsored. And there's a lot of content in there, which is very relevant to a lot of brands. And I'm amazing at cheerleading people.
So,
So,
can we talk about
sure, we can. I have a client in 8 minutes, but
that? Okay,
as long as
we can do
we
this quick.
say goodbye online so that I don't cut you off and that's it.
Sure.
Okay,
You
go for
don't
it.
need a sponsor unless you want the external validation. It won't make you any more money than advertising your own services. Most people, when they talk about they get confused between sponsoring and monetization. Most people will make more money if they use the ad as a vehicle for their own services, rather than slightly erode trust by advertising something else for what would be a fairly meager
Ah,
income. What I
interesting.
think most people want when they talk about sponsorship is they want to know that they count. They want to know that their stuff is good enough that it warrants sponsorship. I think it's got less to do with the money, than people admit. I think it's got a lot more to do with, I want to know that I've hit the bar. I want to know that
That's so
what I'm
nice.
doing counts.
And this is why Mark is
And it
such a
already does.
valuable member of the Better, Bolder, Braver community because so much of that is to do with the psychology of marketing. And sort of feeling validated externally. I've been in
And
the
I
world,
get it
I've
because I feel the same, and that's why I know it's real, because
right.
it absolutely is there. We want that validation. We want someone to look at our stuff and
Yeah.
go, that counts.
And there is something in that. Like if I get the likes of I mean Patagonia comes to mind because it's the most famous brand in the sort of sustainable but millions more that I could go to. And say, oh, they've absolutely endorsed what I'm talking about. Or, I'd rather do what Seth Godin does, which is take a really lesser known brand that doesn't have any money, not take any money from them and say, or like my friends at Carbon Literacy, that I've just got my carbon literacy qualification. I'd love to give them a platform by saying that they are in connection with, or, I'm sponsoring them in this episode. Something, I don't know. I can't give you any
Reverse
money.
sponsorship, I like it.
Right, but I can't give you any money, but I'm very much like using this as a platform not only to kind of put forward my own product, but also to kind of champion the people that I feel are doing really well in the world of. But I'm kind of doing that every time I have one of my guests on because I'm interviewing people who are either those that I think show what good looks like or they're experts in storytelling. And people might say, well, why are you doing that? You're the storytelling person. It's like, well, I'm not an exclusively, I'm the, the only storytelling person in the whole world. So part of this is also publicly acknowledging that you understand you're not alone and this is a collective effort and having other people around you and reaching out to people and not calling them competitors, but rather people in your family who you kind of are related to. It's probably quite sensible. But again, I would really appreciate this deeper conversation with you about sponsorship and in and just to kind of get into the weeds as to why I want to do it. Is it external validation? Is it that I would like to make some money from the podcast, which frankly hasn't come to mind? I have never thought I was going to be monetizing the podcast, but perhaps I could. And it's another clever way of diversifying my income revenue. All to be discussed with Mark in September after the summer holidays are over. So I hope that this has served, Mark, to illustrate how you are not. You're not at all somebody who's going to come in and just edit someone's podcast, but you are going to help people understand, as you say, what they can do themselves or a bigger audit as to what better could be done with a podcast they already have or how to start a podcast and be very
And you would
clear.
be, sorry, you would be surprised at what you can do. now with the tools that are available, with a very non-technical background, you would be surprised at what you can do and what actually you might enjoy doing. And
right,
that's one of the things that I appreciate.
It's actually quite fun. And in a world where people are saying, I don't get any time to be creative anymore, this is one of those ways.
Yeah.
And also the automation stuff is quite creative as well. I'm really enjoying having put together a questionnaire in relation to a free thing recently, and then setting up something in Notion that says when somebody does the questionnaire, send me an email, you know, all these little cutie things, which just make more sense from a sales point of view, because otherwise it's a bit like, whoa, all the things are all over the place and I've done this amazing free thing, but I have got no way of capturing data other than if they download it, and then I don't do anything with the download info because I haven't put it into my drip. So there's all sorts of, and it's not, again, it's not a psychological manipulation. It's just, frankly, out of courtesy, if somebody's taking the time to download your thing, which you've put together for them because you want it to be a lead magnet, to use some really nasty language, how are you then going to follow up with them? And the Mark's whole premise of the presentation last week was essentially low-hanging fruit. Why burn out when you've got a few people who've said, I like what you're saying? So let's just talk to them, shall we? Instead of like shouting at everyone else that we don't even know and don't have a relationship with.
Well, it's funny you say that. And I don't think this was intentional, but what a beautiful segue. If you are listening to, well, depending on when Francis is able to get this out, if you're listening to or watching this before the end of May, I do have an event on that is, or a sort of a workshop that's covering exactly that, is how do we deepen the relationships we have with our existing listeners, rather than, yes, we always want to try and find new listeners, but if we're not careful, we can end up trying to fill a leaky bucket. So what can we do to actually look at the people who are already in our bucket, and strengthen those bonds, and help them become advocates for what we do. So if you want info on that, then mark.guide/coaches is the page I've put together for that.
Wick, if you can send me those links also, not in the chat because we're about to shut this down, but in an email, then I'll post them forthwith. And because I don't do a lot of post-production, it won't be that long until this is up, and therefore people will get it in the timely fashion that they need to sign up to the workshop, in mind of how busy everyone is. So I want to say thank you, Mark. Really enjoying these tools and techniques sessions, and how we can showcase people in the community who have a lot to offer, both people in the community and indeed outside of it, and how these this podcast episode will hopefully serve to remind those people that were there, but also to as a show, watch, read, listen, do opportunity for those who are not, to kind of have another way of digesting how Mark can help. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. This has been beautiful chaos and I've loved it.
Yay, amazing, thank you. All right, over and out everybody, and do stay posted for the next exciting episode of the Better World of Braver podcast, which will be with my friend and fellow community, Better World of Braver community member, Vic Sanderson, and it will be all about doing marketing in a cyclical way for people who are not perfect and who are coaches. So looking forward to that. And that's it. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone. Bye.